Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Psalms 107, we started in here last Wednesday. And I want to stay here at least through tonight, and we'll see how far we're able to get. But in Psalms chapter 107, it's just one of these powerful psalms that I believe has so much to encourage us with, to teach us, to show us, to train us, to guide us as believers. I'm one of those kind of people that, you know, these types of verses, when we read them, and they seem so simple, they seem so basic, they seem so, you know, able to understand, like, I need this. Because for me, you know, as a person, as a believer first, you know, before a minister of God's word, you know, I need to be able to relate to the word. I need that word to be able to be palatable and received by me. Amen. And I believe that sometimes when you see it so simple, when you see where it says that they cried out to God in their distress and he answered, amen. I believe that's something that we all probably know here, but sometimes it's not executed here. Sometimes, you know, God can become a last resort instead of our first response. Amen? And this title of this message, you know, Rescue Stories, I believe that God doesn't want you floundering around in your life. God doesn't want you waiting to the very last minute till you're hanging by a thread to call out on him. Amen? But I believe that God is literally desiring, waiting, anticipating that you would just pray, that you would just connect with him, that you would just seek him first. Amen? And sometimes, church, like I said, whether we admit it or not, whether we realize it or not, we can be just like the people in scripture that we read about, and I hope you don't judge them, because we're more like them than we realize. Amen. We are like them. And when you read, oh, they were going through the wasteland and they were rebellious, or they were this or they were that, and you say, oh, shame on them. Nah, you don't say that. Because if we're true and we're honest with ourselves, we'll probably see, hey, you know what, I've been there too. I was like that as well. But when I cried out to him, he saved me. Amen. When I called out to him, he rescued me. And so Psalms 107, we're going to be taking on from verse 23 and on. And it says this: some went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. It says they saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. It says, for he spoke and he stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves, and they mounted up to the heavens, and they went down to the depths. If I can pause there for a second, he's describing what? He's describing the waves. That they went what? They went as high as the heavens, and then they went down to the depths. It says, in their peril, their courage melted away. I want to pause there just for a second. How many of you have ever gone through something in your life where you thought you were full of faith until that thing happened, until that news was given, until that circumstance came upon you? You thought you were full of faith, and here it says, in their peril, their courage melted away. They were brave when they went out to sea, but in the middle of the sea, their courage began to melt away. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of what was going on in their life, it began to wither away. It says in verse 27, they reeled and they staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. Let's go ahead and pray for tonight's word. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, we give you this time, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name that you would minister to every heart, God, present in this place, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as your word is alive and powerful, God, you would just, Lord, speak, God, to the innermost places of our being, God. We open our hearts, our ears, God, our minds to receive from your truth and every distraction, Father God. We just, Lord, speak against it tonight, Lord Jesus, that we would receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Did you know, church, that there are times where the Lord has to strike the waters that our ship is sailing on to shake you from apathy and from your own comfort? I'll say that one more time. That the Lord has to strike the waters that your ship is sailing on to wake you up. Amen? That there's moments in time, church, where God will do something intentionally. How many of you know that God does everything with purpose? Amen? God's not a God that is wasteful in your life. God's not just allowing you to spin your wheels and go through some season or some circumstance. No, no, no. God has a purpose behind everything. Amen? And we see here in these moments, just like this, like these men that were on this sea, the ships, they were sailing on this water, and all of a sudden, God began to stir up something out there. God began to allow them to feel, to worry, to maybe get a little bit scared. He wanted this to be like a test of their faith, amen? How many of you know that every now and again we need a good shaking? Amen? They shake trees because you know what? The fruit is either ripened or it's dead. Sometimes some stuff needs to get shaken off of our life. Sometimes there's things that we need a good shaking in to remind us that God is God. Amen? To remind us that God is real. And in those verses that we read, I believe that it shows us exactly that, that God is God. When God speaks, what happens? The waves obey. Even if that means, church, that he would stir up a storm instead of silence it. See, we just sang a song about that right now. Talking about the wind and the waves and how when you speak the name of Jesus, that he can bring everything to a standstill. He can silence those things, amen? But guess what? Sometimes God says, you know what? I need to stir some things up because you're too comfortable. I need to stir some things up. I need to allow some things to happen because guess what? Your faith has become stagnant. I need to allow some things to happen so that there could be growth and stretching in your life. If you read Romans chapter 5, and I don't have it in the notes tonight, we're not really going to go there, but it talks about what the production. Go there. Go ahead, Omar, real quick. Romans 5 and 3, I think. I always love when I'm up here guessing. Romans 5 and 3. Let's go ahead and read this. Not only so, but we also glory in our what? Sufferings, because we know that suffering does what? Produces perseverance. Verse 4. Perseverance, character. That means that perseverance produces character, and character, hope. We'll stop there. Why is that important, church? Why is this important that there be a testing of your faith? Because it's developing something in your life. Amen? It is developing something in you. It's developing something in your life. And guess what? You have to be tested. It can't just be every single day. It's like, oh, perfect, and things are fine. And so guess what? God will speak not only to silence a storm, but to allow a storm to happen, to allow it to continue. And I want to tell you, church, many a times we are accustomed to God stopping things, bringing a calm or bringing a peace in our life and bringing us out of uncomfortable places. But these verses also tell us that God didn't stop anything. He started it. We are so desiring that God would bring us out of the uncomfortable when God is saying it's in the uncomfortable that you'll grow. It's in the uncomfortable. It's in those places that, you know, I've told you things like this before, but, you know, I get to coach girls from time to time, and I love doing that. I love being able to impart things in them. And one of the things that we tell them is, hey, guess what? It needs to be uncomfortable. You need to put a little bit of stress on your body. You need to try something. You need to push yourself a little bit harder. You need to do things a little bit, you know, more challenging, because guess what? You'll never grow as an athlete, right? And that's the maturation process of growing in that sport. But it's no different in our faith, church. We have to have conflict. We have to have character building. We have to have pressure. We have to have things in order to persevere through. Perseverance isn't developed without a resistance in your life, amen? Perseverance is not going to get developed if, guess what, you know, it's just You prayed and poof, it just went away. I praise God for those verses where, guess what? They called out to him in their distress, and what? God answered. Because he's more than able and he's more than capable of doing that. But I'm also thankful, church, that when he allows you to stay in a season, when he allows it to linger a little bit longer, when he allows it to really test your faith and see what it is that you have been relying on, whether it's self, whether it's money, whether it's your job, whether it's people around you, it will ultimately reveal where your trust lies. If you read your Bibles, church, this isn't the only time that God has spoken other uncomfortable things into existence. Amen. Psalms 105, I'll give you an example. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies. That's where they came from. And gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down the vines and fig trees, and he shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. It says they ate up every green thing in their land, and they ate up the produce of their soil. Did you know, church, that at any given moment, the Lord can and will allow storms to come and shake your faith, or allow fire to test your faith? The Bible is teaching us in Psalms 107 that the intensity of that storm that these individuals had to go through, what had happened, it melted their courage. It showed it for what it really was. It exposed what it really was. I know I have prayed bold prayers in my life. I know you have prayed bold prayers in your life. God, whatever it takes. Ooh. God, send me. I'll go anywhere. God's like, I see. I'll send you around the world. Let's see. God, I just want what you have for me. So, Lord, I'll do anything. He says, okay. We'll see about that. And it's not that God is unbelieving in you, or that God is not going to strengthen you, or that God is not going to help you. It's just God is a God of his word. Amen. He's a God of his word. And he says, okay, mijito, you said you want to go through it, then I'm going to put some fire under you. You want to see what faith is really all about? You want to learn what endurance is? Then guess what? I'm going to make you wait years. You see, when I talk to people sometimes and I hear some of the struggles that they're going through, you know, I never take it lightly, because I can remember at times where maybe I went through something similar. But then, you know, when I hear them say certain things and, oh man, you know, the internet, it was off for like half a day. You know, I was losing my mind. I'm going like, really? You call that a test? You know, it's laughable. It really is. But I've seen people freak out over stuff like that. And I say, no. Try being in the same season. Try being in the same trial for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 years. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? That was a 12-year battle, I believe, is what Scripture teaches. You see, it's those types of things, church, that yes, at the moment she touched the garment of Jesus, she was healed. But guess what? I believe that God developed something in her for those 12 years to get to that point where she had such a great faith and trust in him. Amen? And God is looking the same in your life as well. Psalm 107, like I said, it said the intensity of the storm, it melted their courage. They thought they were brave until God allowed the storm to shake them. Psalms 50 in verse 3 says this: our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. Let me teach you something tonight. Sometimes we assume that because there is a storm in our life, the enemy sent it. And we're quick as Pentecostal Christians to rebuke that stuff out of our life. Oh, no, that's the devil, you know. Hang on a sec. You could think it's an attack from the enemy, but Scripture points to the fact that where God is, a tempest rages on. Amen? And the beauty about this fact is that God, though, church, even though you could be in the middle of something, God is there with you. You see, we are never in the middle of something without God. He's present. He's there with you. And I believe that something that will awaken your faith is when you can be in the middle of those things, just like these people on the ship were, and not be as focused on the wind and the waves and the worries, but be focused on who is there with you. Because had they been focused on the God that they believed in, their courage wouldn't have melted away, and their faith wouldn't have diminished and dwindled. Amen? But a lot of times, church, if you're like me and like everyone, sometimes the intensity of the storm around you will cause you to think as though God has turned against you or turned from you. But the reality is, what does his word say, church? He will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. Luke chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, let's go there as well. Verse 22 says this. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Now, this doesn't sound like a bad invitation at all. Amen. It's just a simple invitation from Jesus. He says, "Hey, guys, let's go to the other side of the lake." It says, so they got into the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. It says, a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. The disciples, they went and they woke him saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Now, I want us to notice something. We can backtrack just for a second. The invitation into the storm was given by Jesus. I'll say that one more time. The invitation into the storm. See, they didn't foresee the storm. He knew it was coming. Amen? Jesus knows all. He knew it was coming, but guess what? He says, "I'm inviting you to come with me. I'm inviting you to go with me." And so this invitation was given by Jesus. And Jesus proves here in this moment, church, in this passage of Scripture, I kind of heard it said this way one time, that you have authority over every storm that you are able to rest in or sleep in. What does that mean? Jesus was doing what when the storm hit? He was sleeping. He's in the boat. He's present. He's there with them. But guess what? He's sleeping. How many of you could use a good nap right now? Amen? All right, take it later. Now's not the time. And trust me, I know who takes naps in church. I see all that stuff. I ain't gonna name names. But listen to this, church. You have authority over every storm that you can sleep in. What does that mean? This is why the opposite happens in your life when you're going through something, and it's called unrest. How many of you have ever had sleepless nights because of things that you're going through? Yeah, it's a real thing. Amen? What happens when you have a sleepless night? Man, it messes up your day. Your day starts dragging. And what happens when it goes on for days and days and maybe weeks and weeks and months and months? All of a sudden there's this tiredness, this heaviness that begins to just kind of attach itself to your life because you're carrying that burden. Amen. And so unrest, oftentimes sleeplessness in the storms of life, church, is a direct result of faithlessness. Faithlessness. You say, "Pastor Duke, what is the connection?" Your faith in Jesus is rewarded with rest. I'll say it again. Your faith in Jesus is rewarded with rest. Don't believe me? Matthew 11 and 28. "Come to me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will" what? "I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find" what? "Rest for your souls." For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus speaks to the disciples at the end of this storm that they're in the middle of, that they're experiencing. And he asks them this simple question. He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? You see, Jesus had complete faith in the Father. Amen. He had complete faith. He knew everything was going to be fine. His faith was not lacking in any kind of way. Now, I don't want you to mistake this very thing. I don't want you to mistake rest for laziness. Amen? Two totally different things. I know some lazy people that probably think they're resting. They're not resting. True rest is what? It's found in Jesus. True rest is found in the truth and in the promises that God provides. Amen? So Luke 8 and 25, the disciples say this. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Who is this? That he commands even the winds and the water, and they what? They obey him. They were in amazement, church. They were in awe. They were in like blown away. Because while everything was happening around them, they're going like, man, oh, look at that, and, you know, and they scream, they cry out to Jesus in an instant, church. He brings it all to a standstill. He said, who is this? Who is the one that is commanding the wind and the waves? And guess what? They obey him. And I want us to just hone in on something just for a second, church. I pray that your heart is always in awe of God. And God's ability to still the storm or still the winds and still the waves, whether you are in the middle of a storm or you have seen a storm pass in your life, I pray that you're always in awe of him. That just like the disciples who were in the middle of that raging ocean, that storm that was going on, and all of a sudden, poof, everything stopped. I don't know about you, but I was woke up with rain this morning, you know, at least in our part of town. And when it kind of rolled into town, I mean, I heard it. I heard the wind kick up. I heard the, you know, and we have a two-story house. And so for whatever reason, I feel like it always sounds windier up there. And I could hear the wind, and it was just kind of blowing, you know, and hear stuff kind of moving around and all that kind of stuff. And you hear that, and, you know, you're almost kind of bracing for whatever it's bringing with it. And just to think, church, that while I was in the comfort of my home, I could have been outside in the elements, actually experiencing it. The very God that we profess to serve and know, church, in a moment can bring it all to a standstill. I saw a guy that I follow on social media. He was by the Red Sea. And he was standing in it, and he was like splashing the water. And he says, do you realize that God made all of this water split and stand up on end so that his children could run through? You know, and you hear it, you read it, you've seen it, you've heard the stories, maybe you watched the movie, you know, that depicted it. But the truth is, church, that is the God that you are praying to. That is the God that you have relationship with. That is the God that you have faith and trust and belief in, church. That he can make a wall of water just stand up. And that he could stop the heavens from raining. Other times in Scripture, we see that storms were brought on by themselves. We see that situations and circumstances were brought on by their own life because of apathy or a refusal to do what God had commanded them to do. And I want to tell you something, church. Disobedience can bring storms into your life as well. Amen? When we disobey God knowingly, and we run from God, we have a refusal, a rebellion in our life towards what God has instructed us to do, church. Guess what? It will bring with it storms as well. In the book of Jonah, and we won't turn all the way there, but in the book of Jonah, Jonah was given what? He was given a command by God to go to the city of Nineveh. He had an assignment. He had an appointment to do as God had commanded him to do. And that was to go and preach against that city because of their wickedness, their idolatry, and some of the things that they were doing. But instead of going as God had commanded him to do, what did he do? He tried to run from God, and he tried to jump ship to flee. And scripture teaches us, church, that the Lord sent this great wind upon the seas, and it threatened to break up the ship. And guess what the people on that ship did? They asked Jonah, they said, "What have you done? Because this whole storm that has come with you, this whole mess that has come with you, it wasn't here until you got here, until you got on this boat. So what did you do to upset the big man upstairs? What was going on in your life, Jonah, that you did, that all of a sudden all this stuff has come with you?" They knew that Jonah had disobeyed the Lord. So Jonah said, "Throw me overboard and the sea will become calm." Jonah's like, "You're right. I'm to blame. I'm the reason that all this stuff is happening in your life. I'm the reason that all these things have come upon you." Now, I want to pause in that story just for a minute, and I know I'm paraphrasing, so go back and read it on your own time. But some of you might even have people on your ship, church, that God is telling you to throw overboard. "Pastor Duke, didn't you just tell us to invite people to church?" Yes, I did, but listen to me very carefully. It's not because these people are not redeemable or unable to be saved, listen to me carefully, but because they might be the reason that you are sinking. They could be the very reason, the things that you are attached to with them, because of them, through them. They could be the very reason that your life is going down, the very reason that you're not fulfilling God's assignment in your life, the very reason that, you know, you're being pulled away from God instead of to God. A very important scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, but it's very to the point. It says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." How many of you need more good Christian brothers and sisters in your life? Amen. It's important. It's important that if you don't have somebody as your brother or sister to help keep you accountable, to help keep you following and walking with God, that you get somebody, amen? That you find somebody, that you lean on somebody, church, because guess what? Bad company will corrupt good character. But listen to me clearly. God is going to deal with the Jonahs in your life. God is going to deal with those Jonahs in your life. That is, he will have his way with them, but you might need to throw them overboard off of your life so that their influence is no longer a string attached to your soul or attached to your life. You see, what did we've said before? What did Jesus say? If your hand causes you to sin, it's what? Why? Because it's better to get into heaven with what? With one hand than to lose your soul, to be cast away from God. Church, there's things in your life that you must throw overboard. There may be people in your life, relationships, idols in your life. It could be so many different things. You say, "God, I need to throw this overboard out of my life so that I can walk in obedience to what you've called me to do." Amen? We have to follow through, church, with what God is commanding us to do. Amen? We have to follow through. Sometimes we think, you know, "Oh, but they're my friends, oh, they're people, and this and that." You know what? You can still have a relationship with people, but they can have a removal or a detachment from your life where they don't have influence over you anymore. Amen? See, Jesus could sit with sinners, but guess what? They didn't have an influence on his life. Jesus could still love them. He could still minister to them. He could still show them truth. He could still show them the authority that came with his kingdom. Amen? But guess what? They never had an influence on his life where all of a sudden he began to act and live like them. You see, when the storm is tough, church, I believe that the Lord is absolutely enough. Amen? We can turn into him, we can trust in him, and we can see how reliable God is. Psalms 107 and 28, let's keep going. It says, and then what? And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, And what did he do? He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. And it says, and they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. I want you to just answer this question personally tonight, but has God ever calmed a storm in your life? You know, has God ever just silenced the noise, brought peace to your heart? I know he's done it time and time and time and time in my life, church. And I believe it's important that he can do these things in our life, but not only that, but that we could acknowledge the fact, church, that he is the only one who can take you from pain to peace, amen? He is the only one, church, who could take you from restlessness to actual rest, from hurt to hope in him. This is important for us to never lose sight of. I know that the God that I serve has redeemed me from the offense of my sins, from the worst of the things. He's pulled me, as the scripture says, out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, amen? He's pulled us out of the miry clay, and he has set our feet upon a rock. You see, that's good news. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that we serve, amen? And it's important for us to remember, church, to not lose sight of the fact that what he has done in your life in the past, he can do it again. Just because, like, the weather changes and storms roll in and storms roll out doesn't mean that God can't rescue you even now if he's rescued you before, amen? I want to ask you a simple question tonight. Has God forgiven you? I want you to just take a moment. I'll give you a moment. Some of you look like you want to take a nap anyways, but I want you to think just for a second of what he has forgiven you of. Go down the list tonight with him. Think about that just for a second. Because the Bible says that the person that's been forgiven much loves much. The person that has been forgiven much by the Lord loves him much in return. Worships him much in return. Thanks him much in return. And like I said at the beginning of this message, sometimes he needs to shake you just a little bit to bring us back to that place of understanding. Say, God, you've done so much for me. If God has forgiven you, I want you to just take a moment to praise him. Amen. In Psalm 107 and verse 31, it says what? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his what? His unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. What does it say? Let them give thanks to the Lord. See, the gathering place, the times that we come together, the times that we join together should be exactly this, church. It should be this never-ending thanks and praise for everything that God has done. Amen? I remember years ago, Pastor Thomas, when they were having services with the Indian community, and one of the things that I loved, I would attend, Pastor. I didn't understand anything that was being said. Praise God. But the Holy Spirit was there. And I remember they speak a language called Malayalam, right? See, I know things. All right. One of the things that I loved was part of their praise and worship was almost every person, or certainly young people, would stand up and read a psalm, right? And that always blessed me. because they would stand up and they'd read like Psalm 107. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. And, you know, and as I would begin to hear that, it was exactly the scripture. It was let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him. And I would see one young person stand up and they would thank God. And then they would after they would read the verse, they would, you know, kind of give short testimony and thanks to God for what he has done, church. And I want to encourage you tonight. Listen, you know, whether you have a microphone in your hand or not, we always need to be thankful to God. Amen. We always need to have that overflow of gratitude, that overflow of thankfulness that comes out of our hearts. And guess what? When we speak to our brothers and sisters in Christ, even be thankful for them. Be thankful for who they are in your life. Be thankful, church. Be even more thankful. Be over thankful if you must. Amen. I pray every morning with my girls, you know, as I take them to school. And one of the prayers that we pray, and I really do try to not pray redundant prayers with my kids. Like, I'll surprise them some days. I'm like, man, Lord, I thank you for comfortable pillows. And they're just like, what? You know, but what's the point? I'm trying to bring their mind to acknowledge the fact that, guess what? God provided that for them. That is a blessing. Think about it. It could be all torn and ugly or whatever, but it is a blessing. Because guess what? There's somebody that's sleeping on a rock. There's people that are sleeping in dirt. There's people that are sleeping in the elements under a bridge on concrete. I'm grateful because Jesus has given me a pillow. I'm grateful because at my house, the air conditioning works and the lights are on and the mattress is comfortable. And you know what I mean? The fan works. You know, those are all blessings. And I pray that way with my children because I want them to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Everything, church. Everything. The dinner on the table, man, even if it's peanut butter and jelly. Even if it's, you know, the same old, you know, sometimes the girls are like, oh, can we pick up food? And I'm like, nah, man, we're eating at home. Ooh. I'm like, you're eating. You're eating. That's a blessing. I remember when I was in college, man, I got real skinny. Ooh-wee. Just making a little bit of money, just having enough to put a couple packs of ramen noodles in the pantry. Those things ain't going to put much, you know, any meat on your bones. But guess what, man? They got me through. And I was grateful. Be thankful for the air that you breathe. Be thankful for the chair that you're sitting in. Be thankful. Be thankful. Go over and above to show how thankful we truly are to God. I could go on and on. And guess what, church? Sometimes our thankful list is short and our complaint list is long. Sometimes the thankfulness stops after just 30 seconds. Oh boy, but you could talk about the complaints that you have in your life. Oh boy, we could talk about how our side hurts and how our back hurts and how the bill just came in and how the kids are fighting with each other and how the whatever. I pray, church, that we would just get overly thankful, amen? That gratitude would be contagious in our life. Psalm 107 and 33 says he does what? He turned rivers into a desert and flowing springs into thirsty ground and fruitful land into a waste. Can I tell you something, church? There can be times when the rain of heaven will stop falling and the times when the rivers of his goodness and mercy can stop flowing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because some of you have been drinking from the well and dancing in the rain, and yet you failed to acknowledge that it came from him. Sometimes God has to say, okay, let me just turn that off just a little bit. So that all of a sudden we go, oh, hey, I really liked that, God. And God's like, yeah, it came from me. Sorry, Lord. I'll be grateful again. Psalm 74 and 15. It was you who opened up the springs and the streams, and you dried up the ever-flowing rivers. See, God can what? He can start it and he can stop it. He can turn on the rivers of blessing in your life, or he can bring everything to a halt. Don't ever think that he can't, church. Don't ever become ungrateful or somehow almost testy with God, where we think, you know, we can just demand a command from God. I believe that we have to get back to that place where we realize, church, that God is real, that God can stop things at a moment's notice. I was sitting on my couch the other day, and I was looking at a photo of my kids, and I was just thanking God for them. And even today, I woke up, you know, early, and my kids had an awards ceremony, and yeah, I was so thankful because, you know, they finished out the school year, and both straight A students, you know, and I'm like, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. Like, I say that, you know, I want to brag on my kids all any chance that I get. And I'm thankful because they put in time, the effort, they're smart kids, they work hard, they do a lot of those things right. But you know what, church, you know, I was thanking God for them, and I was looking at their life, and I was thanking God that I have them. And I remembered like it was yesterday that they were just in my arms, and I said, God, let me cherish the days. Let me cherish the moments, God. Let me never get too far ahead, God, or too far behind, Lord, but let me stay present as a father. Let me stay present as a dad in their life, enjoying every opportunity, every moment that I can, because, God, you blessed my life with them. I hear people that say things about their children, and it bugs me to no end what I hear people, what comes out of their mouth. Nah, this kid, you know, and they say ugly things about their children. They say ugly things about maybe their character, and they speak those words out that I believe can define a child if you're not careful. And it's like, hey, hang on a second. God blessed you with that child. Let gratefulness flow from your mouth. Let thanks and praise and let blessings flow from your mouth towards those children. It will change everything. Amen? It's because of God, though, church, that you are living and you're breathing. Amen? It's because of God that you have life in your body. It's because of God that you alone have been able to experience and live out another day. Amen? And if it is God that sends the rain on the earth, and if it's God who causes rivers to flow, if it's God who can make the pools in the desert stop, church, maybe it's because we've lost sight of where our living water comes from. I think sometimes we get too caught up thinking that we have something to do with our life more than we should. And guess what? We need to get back to that place of humility and say that all things come from the Lord. Amen. Omar, can you give me Colossians 1 and 15? I think I'll get out of the way. Go ahead and read this with me. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. And 16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. It says, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Now, if you read the whole intro to that chapter and you get to that point, you'll see, church, that guess what? All things come from him. Amen. He is the head of all things. And if you're living in a season where your mouth is a little parched or the heat of the desert around you has been turned up, it's because maybe you thought your water came from your own well. Then I want to remind you, church, it's never because of what you and I could do. It's never because of what you and I have done. It's never because of your works or your religion, your traditions, or anything like that, church. We have to understand this. Just like John 4 and 13 says, everyone who drinks that water will be thirsty again. If you think that it's your life that produces something from you, Jesus is saying, guess what? Everyone that drinks from that water is always going to be thirsty. If you think your help comes from your job, your finances, your government, your friends, your relationships, the position that you hold at work, you'll always be thirsty. You'll never be satisfied. It's called the water of your works, the water of your pride, the water of religion and tradition. But verse 14 says, but whoever drinks the water I give them will what? They will never thirst. He says, indeed, the water I give them, he says, will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Amen. Deuteronomy 32:2 says, listen, you heavens, and I will speak. It says, hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. It says, let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. He said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. He says, oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock and his works are perfect and all his ways are just. It says, a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Can I tell you something? If you think that your desert is unmerited, think again. Because God is just. God is just. Say, well, man, I don't feel like I deserve this. God is just. God could absolutely be teaching you something that you refuse to learn. I always think about those Israelites in the desert and the circles that they wandered in. But guess what kept them wandering? Complaints, ungratefulness, disobedience. Just kept them wandering and wandering and wandering and never crossing into the promised land that God had prepared for them the whole time. I'll finish with this. Hebrews 12:6 says this. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone that he accepts as his son, it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. He says, and for what children are not disciplined by their father? He says, if you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, he says, then you are not legitimate. You're not true sons and daughters at all. He says, moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. He says, well, how much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good in order that we may share in his holiness. Verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. He says, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Verse 12, so therefore strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees and make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. Amen. I believe, church, that if you and I ever need a drink from the well that God provides, church, it's so simple that all we have to do is come with that thirst and say, Lord, I have found resources, God, in other ways. I've looked for other solutions, God. I have tried to do other things to solve and see, God, my remedy, God. I've tried to make things happen on my own, and Jesus is simply saying, listen, I am the drink that your soul needs. I alone will provide the very thing that your life has been longing for, that if you would simply trust in me. Don't be bitter, don't be angry, don't be ungrateful, don't be any of these things, but simply just say, Jesus, you are everything that I need. But God, it's been going on this long, but God, I've had to endure, God, I've had to wait, I've had to, Lord, be in this time, in this season, Lord, for all these years, God, I'm getting tired, Lord, I'm getting frustrated. He's saying, you only need me. You see, we cannot replace what Jesus can do in our life with anything else. Because everything else will dry up. Everything else will be like sand. It will wither away when the storm comes. It won't last. It won't secure you. It won't become an anchor for your soul. It won't satisfy. It won't redeem. It won't fill your heart with hope. You'll always be in longing. You'll always be in need because you look for everything else but Jesus. But if you look to Jesus, my friends, if you look to him and say, Lord, I need you. You're the answer. You're the very one who can rescue my soul. I guarantee you, church, the rest will come. The faith will grow. God will supply. The season can shift. Everything can change in an instant if you trust in Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.